Okay, the Gemara Daf Tezayin of Aleph is kind of the second half of the sentence of what we were doing last week, because throughout the entire Zman we've been talking about whether Shechita is just a technical requirement, and you should only eat from an animal that was killed in a certain way, presumably because it's painless and maybe other aspects. So is it just a technical obligation to make sure it was done in this specific format, or is there any aspect of mitzvah, any aspect of how it's done that matters to us? So last week we talked about the question of whether there is a requirement of machshava and of kavana, and that affected a number of things. It affected the question of a katan, that a katan apparently can carry off a kasher shechita as long as he's being supervised, and the Gemara assumes that that has to only work if you don't require kavana for shechita, because the katan's assume that to be a bar das. And we had previously discussed about why is he called the bar zvicha. Is there an issue of being a bar zvicha or not? And then we saw that really, if you look at the Gemara and Daf Lamed Aleph and the Mishnah and Daf Lamed Aleph, which is really very important, and that's the other half of the sentence, also to that previous Gemara and Daf Yud Beis, that the Mishnah tells us, Nafla Sakin v'shachta, if the knife falls and there's a shechita, afal pi sheshachta kedarka, even though the shechita happened fulfilling all the details, psula, still no good, shenamar v'zavachta v'achalta, masha atazwe v'achata ochel. So that there has to be a act of zvicha, there has to be an act of shechita. So what exactly implications of that? So you could have thought that from the context of it falling out, that it's about kavana specifically. And we see on one level that it is, and the Gemara right away picks up with that. So time is enough la ha'apila hu k'shera. V'afogav d'loy mechaven. Apparently don't need to have kavana. So mantan lomar kavana al shechita. So Rav Nosson, he says, Rav Nosson goes back to our Gemara in the first part. But what emerges from the Gemara is that kavana is not just about intent, it's also about establishing that it's an action in the first place. And that maybe the kavana is not kavana in the sense of a mitzvah, but it is kavana in the sense of knowing that you're doing something. And we also saw last week there was a machlokas rishonim, whether or not that Gemara has anything at all to do with the general Shas Machlokes of Mitzvot Srichas Kavana. That there were some Rishonim who connected them, but other Rishonim who said, Pemole, that there's no relationship between this Sugya and Mitzvot Srichas Kavana. Just trying to figure out how the Matir of Shechita works. Maybe it needs more Kavana, maybe it needs less Kavana. It's a whole different Sugya. So with that in mind, so let's look at now the Gemara and Daf Tezayin of an Aleph. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, this is two lines from the top, or really the second line from the top of the page. Amar Mar Hashochet B'Muchni Shchitaso Kishera. So what does that mean, Hashochet B'Muchni? So I don't know the etymology, whether this actually lines up with the English word, but the sounds are the same. It really means essentially a machine or a mechanism. If somebody has some kind of a complicated setup to shecht, he has, let's say, a wheel. It's not just a knife, but there is some kind of a mechanism he has set up where the knife is attached to something, and maybe you're operating a pedal or something like that, and you create a shechita, so is that kasher? If we had more time, I'd like to maybe find some time, we will squeeze it in at some point, that this has some implications also for Hilchas Chanukah. It's always nice to try to get the Yontif material to relate to where we're holding in the Gemara, so I'd like to try to insert that into discussion at some point. Maybe we'll... Sorry, yeah. So maybe we'll try to put that in. But here, so the Gemara says that Ashochei b'mochni shchitasuk sheir. Okay, so apparently that's good. So asks the Gemara, really? Is it so good? So v'hatanya, did we not learn the exact opposite? Shchitaso psula, that the shchita of such a situation is no good. Oh, so lo kasha, ha besarna de pachra, ha besarna de maya. What's the difference? So, Sarna de Pachra, says Rashi, Galgal shul yotzrim shul cheres. You have like a potter's wheel. So it's operated by a pedal. So you put your foot on the pedal, and it makes the wheel go around. So v'yeshul ha'muchni sh'megalgal imbok sh'chokim esekli. When they fashion the kli on this wheel, they're able to make it turn around with their foot. So maybe that's what we're talking about. That would be good. But said Rashi explains, Sarna de Pachra is another like three Rashis on this one word, three separate Yeravaskos. So the third one here now, Shlitaso Kshera Sha'ada Megalgal. So in that case, it's a person who's making it go around with his feet. So that's legitimate. But the Maya, if it's controlled by water, so that's no good. See Rashi here again, Shritaso Psula, Shamayi Megalgal Mosa. That's the water that's making it go around. You have running water that is powering this wheel. That's no good. V'ein Shrita Zu Mikoach Adam. And that Shrita is not considered to be from the Koach of a person. V'tanam L'kaman, and this is a problem for the Mishnah we just reviewed on Daf Lamed Aleph, Nafla V'shachta Shritaso Psula. That if it fell, then the shechita is no good. So that din of that Mishnah, Daf Lamed Aleph, so the Gemara says here, if you have a water mill operating your knife, that's not going to be any good. That's not going to fulfill this din. Or, the Gemara goes on, we could say it slightly differently. Maybe it's both talking about a water wheel, and there is a way to make the water wheel work. Because lo kasha, it's not necessarily a contradiction. Ha bekoach rishon, ha bekoach sheni. So maybe the difference is it the first power or is it the second power? So what's the first power? Koach rishon miyad kishenotel hadaf ha-ma'akev v'samayim. That the water is being held back by a board. And as soon as you take away the board, so then the water comes out, v'hischil galgel, and it's going to make the wheel go round. V'hischilas gilgulo shachat mikoach adam shenotel hadath. So then essentially you did that, right? Because if you took the board away, and right away a rush of water came out and moved the knife, so then we could call that your koach. But the koach sheni, says Rashi, la'achar shegilgul hamayim es ha-gilgul pam rishona v'shniya. So let's say now it's already been going around a little while. Now there's a regular flow of water that's making the wheel go around. It's not anymore as a function of the fact that you open the door. Now it's just there open and the water is pushing it continuously. So then that's from the water, that's not from you. So maybe that's the difference. So chiyad the amar of Papa, hayman de kafti the chavre, like Rav Papa said, let's say somebody ties up somebody, v'ashkel alei bidke demaye, and he diverts a flow of water onto him, v'mis, and that person drowns, so he's chayiv. That's considered to be resicha. So my taima, giri dileihu the hanibay, because it's his own arrow, so to speak. He's the one who made this happen, and he's the one who caused this. Rashi says that here the Ashkelay bitka demayesh hifna mayim lavor lav in Yeru, so he direct the word towards him. So he's chayev the hargo mamish v'osan amayim v'hein hein kli zayno. So the water was basically his weapon. It's like the same way if he stabs somebody with a knife or he shoots somebody with a bullet. So here he got the water directed at him. That's a straight act of murder. A little heavy grama. We wouldn't call that grama. It's giri delay. It's like you've shot him with an arrow. So v'hani milei b'koach rishon, but there again, that's if it was the initial rush of water v'al b'koach sheni, but if it came through a koach sheni, so grama b'alma. So here Rashi explains what would be an example of koach rishon and koach sheni. So koach rishon is shekashru samach l'svas amayim. Tied him up right by the beginning of the water, right by the where the water is. V'kevan shenakov nekav b'svas amayim miyabo hamayim l'piv. So as soon as he created this opening, so then the water comes right away and drowns him. So let's say he's tied him away somewhere else. But mayim hochol l'sham, afal pishenekev v'nekev v'hifnu l'sham, part to the ground v'amu. But now the water is basically going on its own, even though he started it. So then that's going to be a koach sheni, and obviously he's a bad guy, and there's all kinds of other consequences. But technically speaking, as far as a straight out chiyuv, so that's going to be something that he is pater for b'dinei adam. So here what the Gemara tells us now, we see that there is a din of kochel, essentially, when it comes to shchita, and that the shchita has to happen at the control of your physical action, which adds an important detail then to what we require in terms of shchita. The Dor Ravi over here talks about, he says, he doesn't understand why the water wheel should ever be a problem. It's because, for example, when looking to Ritzicha, there's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin that finds Zayin and Amram, if I don't know if I put it on the list or not, but it's Kedai to see one way or another. So there, that Tosfos, amongst saying a lot of other things, but Tosfos says that as far as, let's say, if you would murder somebody through fire, so Tosfos there takes it to be the case that you're chayev whether you brought the fire to the person or the person to the fire. Either way, it's the same thing, essentially. So, based on that, says the Dor Ravi, says, I don't understand. So, let's say you're taking the animal's neck and you're holding it up to this water wheel. So, why shouldn't that be called your maisa either way? That should be called the fact that the water wheel is powering the knife, but you are making it happen by bringing his neck there. So he says, he has an interesting style the way he writes. So he quotes there from Maram Shik. You know, the Dor Ravi was the great grandson of the Chasam Sofer. So he quotes also the Chasam Sofer, has a point about this as well. But Maram Shik was one of the primary Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer. So he quotes from his great-grandfather's Talmud, the Maram Shik, is a tshuva, where he says, actually, this din is only possible with Rabbanu. They were worried that you might come to do it totally passively, so therefore we prohibit this with Rabbanu. But you're right, that Minat Torah, that should be a kashra shkita. So he found that to be an impossible interpretation. So there's no hint at all in this Gemara that it's an issue with Rabbanu, or it's a gzera. So he concludes differently. He says that when it comes to Nezikin or Ritzicha, so yes, the fire is going on its own, and there's no human being anymore who is controlling the path of this fire after it was initially set. So you, by putting somebody in the fire's path, bringing somebody close to the fire, even if that's how it happened, so you are the das that's going to have to take responsibility for what happens. There's a consequence here, and the consequence is going to be blamed on the one bar das at that point who was involved in the process. That's the one who brought this person close to the fire. But maybe when it comes to shechita, we see that it's not just about your being responsible for the consequences. It's the requirement of a maisa. So we still wouldn't necessarily call that a maisa, even though you brought the animal close to what was happening, which sounded like it was similar to bringing a person close to the fire, it's different in that significant way. Yes, sir.
Does the Gemara Sanhedrin itself talk about like bringing someone under a waterfall?
Yeah.
Why is it?
Because there you're talking.
Also, not to be acknowledged in that in the fire case, also.
Right, so whether that's different from the fire cases, that Tosfos talks about Barichas, which gets may have to do with the Eshev Mishum Chitzov. The fire has its own path that traces back to the original kindling of the fire. It gets a little bit complicated. But here, Zoravi's point is to say that anyway, we should distinguish between Ritzicha and Nezikin and Shchita, that Shchita requires not just your connecting to it, but it requires it to be considered your maisa, so maybe that still would be called an actual maisa, which is relevant to another machlokas rishonim, and we'll probably end on this point and start with Chazara tomorrow. But there is a machlokas rishonim, how to understand, go back to the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph. So apparent, let's say, according to the idea that Shechita doesn't need Kavana, but it needs something. Right? So what does it need? That Nafla is no good, and the Gemara says that Hipila could be good. So how are we defining these terms? So there are three different ways in the Rishonim to understand it. So one is to say that it's all about did it come with any intention or not. So it sounds like from the Rush that in order for it to be a good Shechita, you have to at least throw it on purpose with the intention of doing some cutting. So it doesn't have to be an intention of Shechita, but you have to at least know that you're doing a Maisa, and the Maisa is cutting at least. According to the Rashba discusses this both in his Chidushim to Daf Yud Beis and also in the Sefer Berak HaBayis. Now, the Rashba thought that maybe it could have less than that. That maybe if it falls from your hand at all, that would count. So what about the Mishnah that says Nafla is no good? It says maybe Nafla means that the wind blew it out off of something. But if it fell out of your hand, that's the category of Hipila. And that's going to associate with you. And how do you know? Because you find such a din by Nezikin. So some synergy from last year. For those who were here last year, we saw that the Gemara has such a din that if somebody was asleep and a rock was put on his chest and he woke up and didn't realize the rock was on his chest and he stood up, and the rock fell and hit somebody, so then he'd be liable for that. So apparently that works, so then maybe it should work for Shechita also. And you can guess what might be the objection to that, as the Ra'ah in the Berak HaBayis expresses, right? Why might you question that proof? Because maybe Nezikin and Ritzicha are different standards than Shechita. Shechita needs to actually be a Maisa. And when it comes to Nezikin, we know we say Adam Mu'ad La'olam, a person is liable even Ba'ones. So it's a Chiddush to assume that there is a parallel standard between Shechita and Nezikin as far as this is concerned. And the Shulchan Aruch and in some others, you find essentially an in-between position that it has to come from the hand of the person in order to be good. And there has to be some intent. But the intent doesn't necessarily have to be towards Shechita. He just has to know that he's doing something. So if he drops the knife on purpose, so then, okay, he knows he's doing something, that's going to count. But if it fell out of his hand completely without his awareness, so then that's not going to be good, even though it's miraculously and quite scarily seemed to perfectly shecht an animal when it fell out of his hand. Okay, so let's just, I guess, recap what we talked about today, and then tomorrow we'll begin the process of Chazara, aiming for Bechina on next Monday was the decision. That essentially we went over the following points. So we talked a little bit more about Maisa Shabbos, and we raised the question of what should happen to this guy who built his house totally on Shabbos, or as Liberstein discusses. And among the points he analyzes is that we find there's a greater chumrah when somebody plants on Shabbos, that we're told it has to be uprooted, as opposed to argamar, which refers to cooking on Shabbos, where there will be contexts and individuals for whom it is mutter, and we don't say you got to throw out the whole plate. So he mentioned four approaches to distinguish, either because the knas isn't nicker in the context of planting because it's a long-term project anyway, so that's not good enough, while if you wait a day before using the cooked food, that would be a recognizable knas. That was one approach. Second approach was to say that to have to destroy the whole meal, you can't uncook it, so you just have to throw it out. That would be too much, as opposed to unplanting, that you can do. A third approach was that we're trying to fashter what it was you wanted to do. So in the case of the meal, you wanted it for that day. So if you have to wait till tomorrow, that's going to fashter these intentions. But in the case of the planting, the deal was to have it long term. And the only way to fashter that is to say it has to be unplanted. And the fourth approach was the stipulus approach, that the planting continues to impact future growth happening afterwards, as opposed to the cooking, which is already done. And the Meister of Zilberstein was relatively machmir on this, not as machmir as it could have been. You don't have to destroy the house, but you do have to sell it. And he was makel say you could sell it for the full value of the craftsmanship, not just the materials. And then we discussed a little bit whether there should have been or could have been more room for a takanas hashavim, and see this is a shogeg, etc. And then we talked about how in La Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, paskins like the middle view, but the Vilna Gaon paskins like the most makel view. And the Mishnah Berurah says you could do that for Shas HaTzorech, and we talked about what is Shas HaTzorech, and also some additional factors, if the Yisr is Drabanan, or if it's something subject to Machlokas, and we talked a little bit about what that means to be subject to machlokas. And then we talked about going back to now shechita and the idea that the shechita has to be bikocho. We went through the Gemara together and talked about when is muchni good, when is it bad. And then we talked about the Dorvi's question of why isn't this going to be your mice anyway, because you're bringing the neck of the animal to the knife, similar to bringing a murder victim to the fire. And he quoted the Maram Shik, there's only Drabanan, in his own opinion, that there's a difference between Ritzicha and Shechita, where require not just that you're connected to it and liable for it, but that it's an actual Maisa, so that's going to be a different standard. And that indeed, we saw that when the Gemara distinguishes between Nafla and Hipila, that there were three different opinions among the Rishonim as to what we mean by Hipila. Do we mean that it has to at least be with a knowledge of a Maisa of cutting? Or do we mean that anything that falls out of your hands is ready quality pila, and nafla must mean it fell from somewhere else? And that was the point the Rashba brought in bringing the proof from Nezikin. And the Ra'ah and others raised the understandable objection that Nezikin should have a different standard, where there it's more about liability than about an action. And the middle view, that it does have to be an intentional dropping, but the dropping only has to have intent to drop it, not necessarily intent for cutting per se. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful day. Stay warm and dry with whatever impending weather we have.